Welcome to the Etobicoke Historical Society's monthly oral history podcast. This podcast is one of a series of interviews of senior Etobicoke residents in the 1980s. The interview tapes were recently discovered in the local history room at Richview Public Library. We would like to thank the Toronto Public Library for giving them back to us so they could be made into these podcasts. These oral histories are a valuable and unique view into the history of Etobicoke in the early part of the 20th century, as seen through the personal experiences of local residents. We will be presenting a different interview each month. We hope you enjoy them.
Group of Lions arrived in New Toronto on the 7th of July, 1931, to talk to some of our people about formation of a branch of the Lions Club in New Toronto. At that time, all the Lakeshore town, Pimlico, New Toronto, Long Branch, were bankrupt. And about a third of our working people were unemployed. But New Toronto was the only industrial town at that time in Etobicoke. When we got back on our feet again, this would be a natural place to have the Lions Club, and it would be a great help to people in New Toronto to have the assistance of the Lions Club during this period. So we discussed the whole thing and finally decided that we would form a club.
How many people were involved in this initial discussions?
Well, the early discussion consisted of about five of us. And finally, we recruited 26 people to form this club. And we were formed became a club on the 14th of July, 1931. Our first president was Bill McDonald, who was a lawyer in Lakeshore Road at that time, New Toronto. We decided that our first thing we would tackle was tonsil and adenoid cases. And there was a lot of kids undernourished, and their tonsils were in pretty bad shape. One Saturday, we got all to the chief surgeon of the Western Hospital and arranged for some operations with which we had fixed up the beds in the school at 31st Street. And they operated on 20 kids that Saturday, and they charged us $5 for operation. The nurses in the schools volunteered to help. And the Lions picked up the kids at their homes, and after they were allowed to be taken home, we took them to their home, and we keep visiting the parents to find out if the kids were okay. And the surgeons had promised that they would come if anything went wrong, but it was a perfect success. $100 for 20 operations. And we formed a committee in the Council of New Toronto, formed a committee to carry out, do something about helping the people, unemployed people in New Toronto. Two of us were selected from the Lions Club on that committee, And we set up there. We hired two people to look after the handling the welfare. We set up a farm for them to use as to what, where they would buy, what stores they would go to get the, they could buy their food and so on. They had so much. I was secretary of that committee, as I was employed by the provincial government, and was the secretary for the committee. Garnet James was put in charge of the relief, and Hab Jones was his assistant. They had an office in the old Browns building, in the basement of the Browns building, where anyone requiring relief called there.
You know, that was a town hall at that time.
Town hall at that time, yes. Corner of 8 and Lakeshore Road. The ladies of the town set up a clothing store, passed off clothing, and they, what was the Far Hall on 8th Street, and it's still the Far Hall, and people brought in clothing and shoes and what have you, food and so on there for distribution by the ladies of the time. Everybody cooperated well. There were no, way back then there were no liquor stores, and we had, and there were no trouble with discipline. There's no drugs or anything like that, so we had none of the troubles we have today with drugs and liquors. I had an office in New Toronto for the Employment Service of Canada at that time, and in lieu of relief, I had 27 runners from Etobicoke that would, I could send any messages to homes if they, we had work for some people. And we had a group from New Mexico, Long Branch, New Toronto, and we could send out cards by these people to men who were their jobs. In that way, we didn't have to enlarge our staff. They, for doing this work, they got their welfare. Back then, we also had the, in 1935, we had the work started on the Queen Elizabeth Highway, and a lot of our people were sent to work on the Queen Elizabeth Highway, 35 cents an hour. In 1931, the Campbell Soup Company started their building. We were able to get quite a few people on there. 1934, the Gilbert Gin plant started up. We were able to get some workers on there. There was always some work going on at the hospital, on the Lakeshore Hospital. We get people down there. We would allow carpenters and skilled men to work 3 days a week. Then we'd exchange them for another 3 days or some other replacement. So in that way, we'd be able to keep a lot more people going to get, make enough work. 3 days a week's work would keep them off welfare. So, and gradually, after 1935, the employment started to come along, industry started to improve, and our committee disbanded in 1935.
Oh, well, you said you worked for the Provincial Employment Service.
Yeah.
Now that came came under the federal jurisdiction.
Pardon?
That came under federal jurisdiction.
No, under province of Ontario.
Yeah, it was started off that, but it went over to the federal.
That didn't change until 1941. I worked for the provincial department, the unemployment insurance for the province of Ontario. It was a Canadian-wide organization, but each province had their own staff. But when unemployment insurance came in 1941, we were transferred to the federal government. In fact, it didn't actually become law until July 1942, before it was all completed.
What sort of changes would you experience? Did you experience going from the provincial government to the federal government?
Well, I was superintendent of the Employment Service Office, and when the federal government took it over, I automatically became office manager of the office. And our area here in the Lake Shore was from Burlington on the west to Swansea on the east. And we went to Orangeville, Acton. That area is where we started. When unemployment insurance came in, we were all called in on a Saturday, the managers, and we were down in the hotel in Toronto for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That was the Labor Day weekend. And we came back on Tuesday, and that was our training for you, handle the unemployment insurance and the employment services.
So it must have been a fairly rough transition then.
It was quite different. The regulations were different altogether. And then attached to that group, we had a representative of the
Veteran Affairs?
Veterans Organization. One representative of the Veterans Organization. Our staff, instead of being just four, became 24, built up with an assistant in each organization and a representative head of it. For instance, we took over manpower. Anyone wanting work had to come to us to get the job. And anyone that wanted to leave the job had to come to us to get released or transferred to some other organization. So we had a one man set up to take charge of manpower with secretary and so on. And each organization handled their work or under the manager's control. All letters for manpower had to be signed by the manager, and all letters sent out in connection with manpower work had to be checked very closely, because we might have a lawsuit on our hands. Therefore, the words we use had to be very carefully used. If we had a lawsuit, we'd be in very well. We had no trouble at all through the war. We never had one case all the time. In 1900, we were at 131 6th Street during all this period. In 1948, we were transferred to a new location, corner of Plymouth and Lakeshore Road. We stayed there until 1954, and we had an office built for us in Long Branch, Lakeshore Road in Long Branch, east of 23rd Street, which is still in operation. And at that time, we in our office there, when I retired, we had a staff of 54. I retired in 1961, October 1961.
Now, we go back to some of the other different service organizations you worked on. When was the Lakeshore Red Cross?
Lakeshore Red Cross was organized and set up on November 11, 1939. Mrs. Cassie, Ina Cassie, was in charge of the organization, and a lot of volunteers came in to try and organize it. But we got a lot of trouble from some of the old soldiers here when we were organizing Red Cross. Apparently they'd had some trouble when they were overseas in 1914, 18, and where they claimed they had to pay for their things they got from Red Cross. But some of us soldiers who were knew better, we knew that it was some of their own comrades that had sold them the stuff they had instead of getting it directly from Red Cross. So we finally got that all straightened out. And we were set up on the 11th of November in the basement of the library on 11th Street. One of the first things was set up from the Red Cross was the Homemakers Association. It's for helping families who were, mothers who were in hospital and they had kids at home to look after. We set up an organization for training the homemakers in Guelph, 2-week course. It was turned out to be a really worthwhile group. Next thing we tackled was to set up a blood clinic. With the help of the Goodyears, President of Goodyears at that time, we were able to get over some money and we took out the air pond at the end of the library building and set up a clinic down there. And that clinic went on during the war. That was for the Mimico Neutron on Long Branch and the Tobacco, lower part of Tobacco.
What sort of a response would you get?
We got good cooperation from our industries, and we were able to form what we call industrial clinics. Campbell Soup Company allowed a space for an industrial clinic. They were the first. And the Goodyear, Tarn Rubber Company, and Anaconda American Brass. The treasurer of the Red Cross was Mr. Richardson from the Anaconda American Brass. And we had representatives from all our larger industries on the in the Red Cross organization. Members of the Red Cross canvassed all the industries and made arrangements so the timing could go on, so many people could leave an industry and come to get their, give their blood and go back, and then another group would come. It was all done on a timing arrangement. We had a girl in charge of that team. And then we had dozens and hundreds, in fact, of phone people using the phone. They had so many names to call, so many homes to call to try and get people to give the blood. It was a wonderful setup here on the Lake Shore. We had donations of cigarettes from the Lions Club. The Lions Club sent people to help us direct people to the library, and just about everybody that could at any time was giving some part of their time to the Red Cross work.
Now, you involved in a number of other ones. One was, I believe, setting up the Seniors Council.
Senior Citizen Council, yes. We started to set up Senior Citizens Council in 1958. Two of us started out, didn't we? First, we had a meeting with the council from Oldville to find out what had to be done to set up a Senior Citizens Council. And they explained to us the rules and regulations setting up a Senior Citizens Council. And so we got busy here at a meeting in the New Toronto Library of all the people we thought might be interested, representatives from all the organizations, industry and labor unions, the employment service, and we discussed the possibilities, what could be done for seniors, construction companies, and member representative from the provincial government. So from there we went on and we organized Senior Citizens Council. It took us quite a while to get the thing going. In fact, it didn't really get completed until 1963, before we were at what we thought was a good group to get together. And from that council, we first set up a friendly visiting committee. This was formed for all Mimico, New Toronto, and Long Branch. And we had representatives from each town at that time. What we call that would coordinate us for the town, you see. And under the, then we set up a chairman of this visiting committee, and the three towns got together and they organized, selected visitors to call on the shut-ins. First, certainly, they had to find out who the shut-ins were, which took quite a lot of time. We decided we'd set up a host committee to knock on every door in the three municipalities. And that was, I was chairman of the housing committee at that time, and it was my job to organize this committee. Well, I got all the representatives from each of the three towns, and we selected people that would divided the towns and the districts and set up groups to knock on the doors. And we had all the churches in the Lakeshore organized, and we got a lot of help from the churches. And we we had chairman of each town. And from that visit, we found out how many people, how many whole senior citizens we had, how many senior citizens we had. We found out about their health. We found out information about what they, if they'd like to get, go to a senior citizen's home, and so on. And if they, and from that, we decided that it would be a good thing if we could get senior citizens' apartments in the Lakeshore. Well, from that, we went to the provincial government to try and get land to build the senior citizens' apartments. But unfortunately, land was a very scarce thing. We thought we might get a piece of the hospital grounds there. We first asked for 3 acres down on foot of 14th Street, but couldn't get any. I went to the housing committee and arranged to borrow $90,000 for at 7% if we could get if we could get land to put up a building on. That was arranged. There was no trouble getting that. We could also get help from the
service clubs in the area to donate money towards that, to get that building up. But it fell through. We couldn't get in. We're with it, but we kept on working. Next, we got the Meals on Wheels. We organized the Meals on Wheels for 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. That was a first for this area. And also the visiting committee was a first. And then we organized outings for our senior citizens. First was a go out and see the colors at Christmas, and we at dinners for Christmas, and so on. We sold tickets on a some prize that we could to raise money, and some of us gave money to keep the things going. Then we hired a nurse to look after the groups that were visiting and select proper people for visiting shut-ins. You know, everybody hasn't got the knowledge to do a good job visiting shut-ins. You need certain types of people to do that kind of work. So this little lady, she did the selecting for us. I happened to be one. My wife was a visitor. And
well, what type of person?
Pardon?
What type of person wouldn't you look for?
Pardon?
What type of person wouldn't be good for visiting stuff?
We wanted someone who knew something, that was careful not to upset people, not to get them excited. And we wanted people that could be quiet and sit with people that wanted to be quiet. They didn't want to be talking all the time. We wanted people that could do the things for people that were in bed, like write a letter for them or post and so on, or go out and do a bit of shopping for them, or take them out. Someone that had a car, they could drive them out to a store sometime, and then could play games and things like that with them, like cards. And all these things would help to entertain people. And we wanted people that wouldn't stay too long with people who weren't well, at least they had some judgment. I mean, it was you just have to be more or less of a natural for that kind of thing. You had people they could chatter with, certain types of people, and where they didn't keep on talking to them, they didn't have to make any answers to it. I mean, there's something, some people can do these things and others can't. Some people would go in, they wouldn't know what to say to a person in a sick bed or old person. So you had to, they have a knack of doing these things.
You know, you several different other organizations, other ones I already mentioned. There's the United Peel, Canadian Legion. You did some, I believe, fundraising for the Sally Ann.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk a bit about some of those?
Well, in the Sally Ann, I got the organizer for that, for the businessmen. And all I did was I went to people I knew, like one of the men that had the business, and I said to him, well, look, Jim or Joe or whatever it is, we're going to raise some money for the Sally Ann, and you're going to be in charge of this block here, and we have so long to do it. Thing to do is you can either do it yourself or you can get someone else to help you. But the fundraising will be 2 weeks, and I'll be in to see you each week to collect what money you have, and we'll turn it into the Sally Ann, and we'll give you a receipt for it. And I just went from one block to the other in New Toronto, our businessmen, and that's how we managed. That was just the stores that we handled. We didn't handle it. There was another group that handled the industries. I just had the stores. And I don't know how many years we did that, but pretty much the same people did it. So all I did was just went to these people I knew. I used to see them pretty near every day. I knew them all that time. I had an office on 131 6th Street then, and later 11th Street. So it wasn't too hard a job. You always could get a few minutes thrown out. And in connection with our Lions Club work and that, we were seeing one another in a way. So it wasn't too hard a chore. Our hardest work was selling. We sold tickets to raise money for the Lions Club, and we were out at all hours of the night, 11 o'clock. And we had teams out selling tickets on a boat or on a motor car or something or another. And we were out in front of the liquor store Saturday afternoons, and Woolworths, and in the evenings we were out in front of the theater, up in front of the hotel, up in beer store, up on in Long Branch, and beer store in New Toronto, liquor store. So we were going from wherever we thought there was a spot. There was a theater up there and off Kipling Avenue. We used to go in there, wait till they came out of 11 o'clock show. And some Saturdays we would have our fingers so cold with card tables set up right out on the sidewalk and selling books or tickets for a dollar or one for 25 cents. We had our pencils and books there, and some would come and just give us their name and say, just pull off the tickets, and they say, fill in the rest of them for us, and we fill them in. A fellow by the name of Jackson ran a drugstore in Pimlico. He sold 1,000 books of tickets 1 year, bold. We used to make, then we had field days on the Goodyear field before the, where that's parking. But as now, that used to be all taken space there west of the Goodyears. We had several field days there. We had one field day, I remember, after we had our Lions Club building up right there in the top of 21st Street, before that Birmingham Street was opened into Long Branch, right in between the building. We were so crowded, and we didn't have room enough to drop a
any more than two people at a time. They were so crowded. And one thing we did, we had a lot of fun. We had a, what they call a donkey baseball team. We played baseball on the back of a donkey. Well, I think the funniest thing I ever did in my life was I was out in right field with my one arm and trying to catch a ball out there in right field on the back of a donkey. Well, that donkey, he was the most contrary thing I was ever on. And when the ball was going this way, that darn donkey wanted to go some other way. Sometimes I'd drop off of the back of the donkey and run and catch the ball and throw it in and get back on the donkey again. And there everybody in the stands laughing their heads off. Well, but we had a lot of fun and we raised quite a bit of money. We sold bricks or building bricks, so much brick and all that kind of thing. We had barrel of money game. So we'd go around in the evening with a barrel, stop at the, knock on the doors to collect money. And a group has got together back before we built the Lions Club, and we raised money to build the YMCA in Lakeshore. From Mimicota, New Toronto, groups of us called on houses there. We finally got enough money to build them, a YMCA, and it was put up in the corner of 11th Street. At that time, I was a member of the YMCA board. We did, I think, a lot of good work for the young people in the YMCA, trying to keep them off the streets. That was when we were having trouble with drugs was just starting to come in here in Lakeshore.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Etobicoke Historical Society's Oral History Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and like. If you wish to learn more about the work of our society, be sure to visit www.etobicokehistorical.com. See you next month!